coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, Monday. It's Monday to us. It's actually Tuesday, October 12th, 2021. I want to thank you. Speaking of Monday, I want to thank everyone for your patience. I did the Q-Files premium segment yesterday, Monday, the actual Monday, on behalf of Steve, who is recovering. He's recovering. It's good to know. It's a long road up to recover from certain things. So I want to wish him publicly my best, tell him I love him as a brother. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of us who are really kind of feeling the strain of things and are being affected by things. But yesterday we were working in the field, among other things. And we had the conversation yesterday. And now, I'll just say this, being a private investigator, there's a reason it's called private, all right? When you investigate, well, if most folks know that, we're engaged in some active on-the-ground operations, human trafficking, human and child sex trafficking. We're actually on the ground investigating that. But we had a conversation yesterday, and the conversation went something like this. Everything that we're doing here, my goodness, we have to thank one person when we get the chance. We had a situation where someone was hurt, actually in an area, not hurt bad, but hurt, okay. The medical equipment we used, ready-made resources, Bob Griswold. And I got to tell you, without that, there would have been a problem. Okay, one of the team members, right? Would have been a problem. But ready-made resources, the medical kit, saved the day on that. In a situation that required body armor, not yesterday, but another situation, and we were talking body armor from ready-made resources, Bob Griswold, and the equally important night vision. And boy, what an equalizer that is. Again, ready-made resources, Bob Griswold. So, and thermal. Yes. You want to say that? No? Yeah, you're busy. Okay. Eric, the tech's back there. Hey, don't forget this. But, so thermal. It's extremely important as well. We owe a debt of gratitude to Bob Griswold, Ready Made Resources. And, we spoke over the weekend, before yesterday, of course, but over the weekend, and Bob shared with me a letter. Now, I don't know how much he wants to get into this letter, but folks, the food shortages that are coming are going to be real. The shortages right now of selection that you're seeing are, in fact, real. All right? It's a sign of things to come. And what is to come is going to make everyone's life a little less comfortable. Now, is that a good thing? Not in the larger sense.
And it's not just food.
No,
it's everything.
It's everything. You're right.
Natural gas.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yeah. How are you liking the gas prices? Just asking. It was $1.84 on Inauguration Day. Okay. $1.84. What is it now? $3.55?
Projections looks like you might have to add another dollar to that.
I'm seeing that. And you remember how much it hurt, especially drivers. Think about this. If you are a truck driver if you do that for a living, or if you have a logistics company, I'm going to tell you, it's going to hit everyone. And yet this is building back better, right? We're building back better. My behind. Right. So anyway, HagmanReport.com. There, go for the show notes. Click on today's episode, and please share this among your friends, your family, your coworkers. And I want to say hello to the people who are listening to this in a diner in the Midwest. God bless you, and happy eating. Have a sandwich on me. What's that? While you can. Happy eating while... Eric the Tech Man. One-liners are great. Yeah, while you can, as a matter of fact. And again, thank you, folks, members of the Q-Files, for allowing me to sit in yesterday and yesterday morning and get that done. Appreciate that. All right. Very, very early, by the way. Very early in the morning. It wasn't even light up. What's that? All right. Bob Griswold, the man behind our mission success, really, in a large part, the gentleman that who I've got to tell you, he's got his finger on the pulse of everything that's happening. Bob Griswold, Ready-Made Resources. Bob, I know it was an inconvenience for you today to be here with me, but thank you for doing so, sir.
Well, thank you for having me here. It's never an inconvenience to be here. I enjoy doing this very much. It is my passion. And I also want to speak about passions. You know, Steve Curl, we need to keep him in our prayers. I heard some good news that he's recovering a little bit. And I went through what he's going through, and it is not a pleasant thing. The good news is God's merciful, and we do recover. I attribute prayer to that a lot, and I know his wife Loretta is taking extreme good care of him, but I still keep him in prayer. I love him as a brother, and I just want to see him back on doing this type of thing again. So with that said, you know, The important thing with intelligence gathering, you know, I'll start off with this. If I see two guys in the park and they're beating each other up, the intelligence I gather from that is that they are beating each other up. But do I know why? No, I don't know why. It might be a love triangle. Maybe the guy was sleeping with the other guy's wife. It might be a drug deal gone bad. It might be, you know, a myth traffic accident where somebody cut somebody off. You don't know. Knowing why something is happening is as important as seeing it happen. You know, when we see a fight or something like that, everybody's so busy out with their cell phones anymore, they're distracted from the issue of why. And you mentioned the shortages. You know, it's something to know that we have shortages. I was at a grocery store the other day, and I was in the meat section. I was just walking by where they have all the sausages and bacon and stuff like that. And I would say half of those shelves were empty. And I asked the guy, looks like you're short on a lot of stuff. And he just gave me this look like, well, whatever, you know, and I walked on. But it still didn't change the fact that there was a lot of shortages. Now, a lot of people walk by and they'll see, gosh, there's shortages, but they won't know why there's shortages. They'll think, well, it'll be here next week or the following week, it'll get caught back up. There was also, I like fizzy water, as some people call it, sparkling water. And I buy those little 12-ounce cans of different brands, but some of the flavors have been on back order now for 3 weeks. I've never seen that before. So the question is why? I was at a Subway recently ago, and their Dasani water was out of stock, and the guy said there's none in the distribution warehouse. Again, why? We know there's a plastic shortage. We know there's a fertilizer shortage. We know there's becoming a fuel shortage. We know there's a food shortage. We know there's a labor shortage. And so we need to start asking ourselves why if we want a good picture. That's what a good intelligence officer would do, and we all need to become like these mini intelligence officers today, because if we don't have the answer why, if we don't have the answers to why, we will make the wrong assumptions. I mean, if I went and tried to break that fight up and was thinking it was a drug deal, but it was a love triangle, I'd come out to the wrong, I'd be trying to settle a problem that didn't exist. And so if we don't understand why these things are happening, we will not come to the right assumptions. We will not make the proper preparations, and we'll end up in a place that will not do us no good whatsoever. So
I love that analogy, by the way. And you know, I'm a big proponent of asking questions. Why indeed? So are you, why is this stuff happening? By the way, the flight issues, bad weather, that's why, right? Yeah. Wink, wink, nah. Okay. But why, sir? Why?
Well, in any communist Marxist revolution, they have to create shortage because people become more and more dependent on the government. And this is the big picture. You know, we're mailing these stimulus checks out that we can't afford by any means. So people grow dependent on the government. We create food shortages, so people have to go and start signing up for food assistance. We create gas shortages because the one thing the communists do not want, gasoline is energy. Energy equals freedom. I can travel when I have gasoline. They want to restrict the ability to travel. If you don't believe it, that's what they want to do, COVID passport for. You can't get on an airplane. They want to make it so you can't get on a train. You can't go state to state. That's what they're pushing for. So if we don't understand this issue, why in history paints this picture? I mean, you look at communist China, you look at Soviet Russia, you look at any dictatorship that has ever come, and they always create those shortages so the people don't have time to think about their situation. All they have time to think about is how do I get the materials to stay alive? With the coming breakdown of our financial system, you know, it's going to put it on steroids. I think you're being a little kind when you said some people's lives are going to have some disruptions in them. Well, right now, with what they did with COVID last year, people lost their homes. People's marriages were broken up. People committed suicide. Children committed suicide. They shut down schools. They shut down social interaction. I can tell you, Doug, just from being in the hospital in isolation for 5 days with COVID, you really get starved for people. Everybody who came in to treat me, they were very nice, but they had masks on, they had face shields on, and there was no interaction. I remember when I got out of the hospital, I just wanted to hold my wife, not a, you know, romantic way. I just wanted human touch. And so I can't imagine these people, you know, that were locked up for a year in their home. They went stir crazy. I mean, that's what they do to punish people. In prison, they put them in isolation. You know, so it's all a big picture, and we need to understand that each piece of this puzzle, the gas shortage, the food shortage, the labor shortage, is all painting a big picture. That's the way intelligence works. Peeling the onion is what they call it. You know, you get a piece of intelligence, no matter how insignificant it looks, just the guy's clothing, just the time of day. I mean, all those things play an important part, just as language. You know, if I hear on my radio, and I like to listen to the radio people talk, if I hear, you know, somebody talking on the radio and it's some guy in some southern redneck accent going, we need to get them dogs and chase those coons up the tree, you know, I'm going to think Bubba, you know, just some good old boy out there hunting raccoons. But if I hear somebody out there using military jargon, 1400 hours, alpha team, you know, all of a sudden, you take on a whole different seriousness because you understand that the intelligence of one and the intelligence of other are two different things. You have two different people out there, two different groups, but one is definitely have their stuff wired together and the other one's just going out there wanting to shoot things, you know? And so it's important in these days which we live to understand that question why. In fact, it even goes back to the Bible. There's a verse, I think it's Psalm 103, it says, the children of Israel saw the acts of God, but Moses knew his ways. You know, big difference. You can see what's going on, but you don't know why. But again, you mentioned that letter from August and Farms, and I'll read it to you. And there's something that bothers me about this letter. I'm not going to go into too much. It's just, I would not have written the letter this way, so matter-of-factly. But it says, the lasting effect of COVID-19 has translated into global raw material shortages and caused substantial delays in our procurement and production procedures. Regrettably, we cannot fulfill your orders at this time. Therefore, this letter is to communicate our decision to suspend business operations for the next 90 days, effective immediately. And it says during those next 90 days that they'll try to be resupplying. Well, I mean, 90 days is an eternity away from now. We saw how quickly things are changing. So 90 days can be an eternity away, and very few businesses can afford to suspend income coming in for 90 days, but still having to fulfill orders. I mean, they still have to pay all those people, you know, the lights, the electric bill, the mortgages, all those things keep coming in. And you add that on top of the fact that if I go to Mountain House's dealer website, there are absolutely no cans of Mountain House available. If I go to Numana as a dealer, and I try to, you know, go there, I was informed this morning that they only have, three different, a chicken bucket, a beef bucket, and a family pack available. All the other entrees are sold out. I will say we're having people buying enormous amounts of those things right now. So they're whatever you want to call it, they're mass buying. And so, you know, it's a broader picture than just one group. You add that to the supermarkets, you add that to the energy crisis. When the energy crisis hits, as far as gasoline, you mentioned the truckers. I mean, we don't realize it's not like Jan Psaki said, you know, just because we're raising price taxes on businesses doesn't mean that they have to raise prices on the consumers. I mean, where did this lady go to college that she could make such a stupid statement? Now, of course, they're going to pass on the raise in cost of business to the customer. I mean, that's the way it works. But if you have a printing press and you can, you know, print all the money you want, that doesn't translate. And I would say this also, as far as food, you know, you can, you know, growing your own food is like printing your own money. And that's the bottom line of what I recommend people do. If you live in a climate where you can grow food, you can choose how you, first of all, you grow it, whether you want to put pesticides or no pesticides. But, you know, when I did my garden, I would pick broccoli, or, you know, corn or potatoes or tomatoes, whatever. I know, first of all, they're organic. And second of all, I also know that I save a ton of money by not having to go to the grocery store and pay for those things. So, that's just one aspect of this right now. You know, the truckers, I think we have a little bit of a bad connection. I'm trying to rearrange things. The truckers right now, I have a story here that there's 60,000 truckers short in the United States. And this is because during COVID, they shut down all the training schools, early retirement they offered people, and just people quitting. So, you know, this is a part of the Long Beach problem. It's not one bottleneck, Dave. We talk about the 500,000 containers off the coast of California. They're off the coast of New York. They're in the Gulf of Mexico wanting to be unloaded. The fact is the dock workers, I mean, they're firing people, which is insanity if they don't get vaxxed. And they've shut down a lot of the people's ability to even go to work because of COVID. So they don't have the manpower to unload these things. And then when they unload them, the truckers are 60,000 truckers short. So the truck shortage is there. The raising prices of gasoline on the truckers. So the cost of doing business is going up. And at the same time, the truckers having shortages. The airlines are firing people. And recently before the UN, the Truckers Association, the Airline Association, and the Shipping Association, those unions went before the UN and said, you realize that you're creating the perfect storm as far as supply chain crisis right now. And I don't know how the UN responds. They probably were rubbing their hands together in glee because that's their ultimate goal, to create that destruction so they can bring in their new world order. But I even have an article here from, it was on ABC News, excuse me. And a quote of it says, we are on the brink of a human pandemic that could lead to multiple famines of biblical proportions within a few months. You know, there was another article that I read. It was CNN. And you had to really read it with some intelligence glasses on, but it said because of the 2 years of the COVID, we're beginning to see supply chain shortages. Well, the key word there that you'd want to pay attention to is beginning. My gosh, if this is the beginning of shortages, what would the end of the shortages look like? So we're really in a dire straits right now. And what I tell people is that you might not be able to control those events. The problem is that, that's the problem. You can't control the problem you can control is doing something about it. You know, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's households. It's individuals. It's families. You know, that's what we prepare. That's what we do, because I can't control those major national events. I can pray about them, but at the end of the day, when there's a food shortage, there'll be a food shortage. And so that I can do. If there's a security thing with my family, I can have a firearm and protect my family. So this is where it has to boil down to. We see all this intelligence swirling around us, but at the end of the day, we really can't do a lot to change it, but we can change what we do for ourselves. You know, God gives us plenty of warning. He instructs us what to do. It's our choice whether we do it or not. You have any comment?
Yeah, you know, I just a ton of information you provided there. I want to go back just to the letter that you read as the basis of this conversation, just so people understand. Augustin Farms' letter to you as a dealer of long-term storable food supplies, and they're saying, okay, you know what, we have to suspend any kind of orders because for 90 days, all right, and.
It's not orders. They say the key word there is we're suspending business.
Okay, suspending business.
That's more than just suspending orders. That word did not sit well with me. I'm not saying Augustin Farms, Dave, but I know the world of how government procurement works. When they want to buy stuff that they want off the records, they create shell corporations like Fucci did, and you know he funded the gain of function research. through a shell corporation and funneled millions of dollars to China. When the government would go in and want to buy a lot of storage food or something like that, they would never probably do it directly from the government, because if that word would get out and create a panic. They would set up a function of a shell corporation and buy it through that, and they would wipe somebody out and make a long-term agreement. And whether the company that was being bought from would know it or not, I don't know. I know they would make strict requirements as far as security and secrecy if they were doing it, and the company they were buying it from knew about it. There would be strict secret concerning divulging that information. So at the same time, we see these shortages which go through the entire industry. Do you think Uncle Sam is just sitting on his hands with our money, or do you think he's using our money to buy his stuff, so when he needs to go down into the bunker or wherever he goes, he has adequate food supplies to keep him and his entourage alive?
Yeah, very, very interesting. And I'll just say this, the why behind this, in my estimation, and please correct me, where I need to be corrected, but in my estimation, whether it's the shortages, work stoppage, or whatever the case might be, this is a feature by design. This is a design feature. It's not a consequence. Well, it is a consequence of policy, but it is an intentional feature that's being really pushed upon Western civilization. Is that correct?
Well, look at it. We're in a conflict right now. We're actually at war with China. I don't care what anybody says. When some country's smuggling fentanyl and carfentanyl into our country by the truckload, by the tonload, that fentanyl is designed for one purpose. It's to attack fighting age men and women. They get them addicted so they can't go into the military, so it lowers our labor pool. They've been in our country stealing us intellectually blind. They're in our colleges doing that. So we're at war with China, but right now over the Taiwan situation, we've had a submarine hit something in that area. We don't know what it was. I don't think it was some underground unseen mountain that they say it is. I think that's just the boilerplate. They probably were playing brinksmanship with another vessel under the water. But so at the same time we have this escalation of hostilities towards China, we want to go in our military and just fire tens of thousands of people who refuse to be vaxxed. That makes a lot of sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense to somebody who might be a military planner, but it makes a lot of sense if you want to destroy our military. In World War II, Hitler fed Stalin a lot of misinformation about his generals, that they were traitors. And Stalin, being the reactionary he was, went in there and killed them all. He just sent them to the gulags or killed them. So when Hitler invaded, they had an extreme deficit of people, that could fight an effective war. And it almost cost the Soviet Union their country. The Nazis almost beat them. So, we see this today. Is this the same kind of purge? We know there's a purge going on. They want to get rid of Christians. They want to get rid of conservatives. They've already said that. They've purged themselves. Barack Obama did it. He purged, senior staff officers, over 200 of them. And today we see now it going on again. And so is this some kind of, betrayal of the United States by people in high power so that when we are attacked militarily that we will suffer defeat? I mean, so we see that going on. At the same time, they say we have this pandemic going on. What do? You fire thousands of medical workers that are highly skilled and qualified. They've done the same thing with education. Just fire thousands of people who won't get vaxxed. The airlines are firing people. That's transportation. All this stuff they do at the same time, and we see these shortages develop. Does anybody really think this is a consequence? It's the perfect storm that's happening. And if you think this is by consequence, I just say go out and buy a lottery ticket this weekend, because you have a better chance of winning it than you think this is by coincidence.
Indeed. So, again, interest with consideration of your time, and I know that you're a busy man. Bob Griswold, by the way. Bob Griswold, Ready Made Resources, folks. Please go to Ready Made Resources. I'm not getting paid to say this. I'm just telling you, you've got to prepare yourself. There it is right there up front. Go to Ready Made Resources and make sure you shop Do so with your family in mind. Take inventory, but please do it today. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Bob's got the best of the best product of any place out there, in my view, that is ReadyMade Resources, readymaderesources.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Bob, where do you see this all headed, though?
It's headed to one of two places. Either the people of the United States, which I do see some signs of, stand up and say no more. We're not going to tolerate this anymore. We're not going to tolerate an elitist few dictating to us what we must do. I mean, you know, the mask mandate. But yet we see the Democratic Party, Obama's birthday party, the Democrats getting together, no mask mandate. They go and they party and do whatever they want to do without masks. So in a way, you know, it's their way of stating our superiority over you. We can tell you, you know, the laws are for you, not for us. We see that right now. Why isn't Hillary in jail? Why aren't all these other people that have committed gross violations against the United States? Why are they not in jail? Why they don't have to wear a mask? Why they can travel? John Kerry on an airplane, no mask on. I mean, we see it over and over again. But at the same time, if you don't put your mask on, they want to fine you. They want to, you know, take away your social accounts. They want to make you look evil. And so there is a two-tiered thing that's developing in this nation, and that is never the way the founding fathers pictured this nation. We were all public servants that went into government service. We were there for a limited time only, and then we went home. Well, we know that's long gone. I mean, when Nancy Pelosi 6-8 months ago could stand in front of her $25,000 Sub-Zero refrigerator eating a gourmet ice cream in front of people that she had just made sure they lost their job, lost their home, and you know, maybe even divorced, and she sits there and eats her gourmet ice cream in front of them. I mean, can you think of anything more evil? Maybe it's Marie Antoinette Pelosi. I don't know. That's as evil as it gets. Let them eat cake. It'll go that route. If the American people do not stand up and at this point put their foot down and say, hell no, we're not going to take it anymore. We're not going to do it. I do not recommend violence. I think Martin Luther King had the perfect model for what we need to do. Peaceful resistance. We're just not going to comply. We're not going to do your stuff. We're not going to pull out our AR-15s and start shooting people. We're not going to do that kind of thing. We're just going to say no. It's against my moral judgment to comply. I mean, you know, I think I saw 16 F-22 fighter pilots that say we refuse to get the jab. The military's talking about court-martialing them. I mean, it costs millions of dollars to train those people, and they're going to court-martial them. Again, going back to, if you don't understand why, if you think it's just stupidity, then you're going to come to the wrong conclusions and make the wrong actions based on that. You know, it goes back to OODA loop. You observe, orient, decide, and act. Well, if you observe and you don't orient correctly to it, your decisions will be wrong, and definitely your actions will take you to a place that won't solve the problem. You can go and look up OODA loop, O-O-D-A. Just go look it up. And that's what you're doing, and a lot of Americans think it's just stupidity. It's not. This is deliberate. This is Marxism. This is communism. History teaches us. So we'll either go down that road of tyranny. We'll lose all of our freedom. You know, your restrictions on travel, free speech, religion, property ownership, firearms ownership will all be taken away from you. Or we stand up and say no, and we gain our freedom back in this nation. And the problem right now is that most Americans are asleep. They don't even know there's a war going on. They've all made the wrong suppositions, considered the supply chain shortages. So we are really under the gun to stand up right now, because we're on the verge of something very, very evil coming to this world.
You're absolutely right. And I was I don't mean over talking. I was talking with someone yesterday. While I was in the field, it was somebody outside of what we were doing, but. He said to me, you know, I've been having a bad feeling about, where things are going, you know, in general. Now this is an individual that really has no idea, is disconnected essentially from news and, just by talking to him, I was able to gather that, you know, he wasn't too up on how, you know, where things are, or, you know, where things, the events of the current events. Okay. He wasn't too up on that. But he said, I've just got this really heavy feeling that things are not what they appear to be. Things are not going well. And I think a lot of people are feeling that, obviously. But, you know, what to do about it, I think, that's the issue. And every one of us have to decide.
Yeah, you know,
go ahead.
Yeah. We have to lose our fear. The fear of man and fear what they can do to us is what's crippling our nation right now. I can't say anything because I'll lose my social media account, I'll lose my job, I'll lose whatever. But we have to lose that fear and stand up, because if we don't, if we allow fear to control us, I mean, you ask any tyrant, Stalin used fear and he knew it. I quoted Himmler the other day on a media, and you know, he basically said we use fear, legal tactics, and social status as our way to control people. Well, I mean, my gosh, that's the United States today. That's what these tyrants are doing. They took it out of Himmler's playbook. We have to stand up and say, you know, my reputation does not mean as much as my children's freedom. I need to secure freedom for the next generation of people. And we need to take these tyrants that are in business and in office right now and make sure that they're no longer in office. And that's going to be a very, very difficult task. I don't know if we're up to it. Our every aspect of our government and media and military and education and religion have been infiltrated. So it's a huge task before us. But, you know, as the American people, are we capable of handling this? Yes, if we stand up. If we don't, I hope you like the boot on your head, because that's where it'll be. You think you can buy safety with your silence, but you can do neither. You will get neither safety and you will not be silent, because you'll be having the agony of deprivation that will affect you and your children. So right now, you know, we have to have the, you know, I always use Lot and Abraham when Lot was kidnapped by the people of the plains, you know, the Sodom and Gomorrah, all those people. Mm-hmm. Abraham went to rescue him. And first and foremost, Abraham, the thing he needed was the moral courage that God bestows on a man or woman that says, I am not going to tolerate this. This is an evil that I'm not going to tolerate. I'm going to go into my enemy's camp and spoil him. The next thing they needed, and I'll add men and women to this, we need men and women of valor. The men that he took with him were men of valor. They were trained with the sword. They were trained in the art of combat. And they knew how to go in there, and they did. They went in there and just, I mean, you know, if you read the Bible, it says they went and slaughtered them all. I love that language. But then the other thing they needed was, it was a journey. They needed to have the swords. They needed to have the food supply. They needed to have the caravans, the water, those things that they needed to take with them. So it was a trinity of things that they needed. The valor, they needed the moral valor. They needed people that were trained, and they needed the supplies. And that's our, I think, our model today for what we need to be doing. First and foremost, I want to be, you know, a man. I want my wife to be a woman of valor, that we're not afraid to speak out. I also understand that I need to train myself in certain disciplines. And then the third thing is, I need to know really that they're going to create deprivation, and I don't want to be in their supply chain when the shortages come, because they will make you do what they want you to do. So I'm going to step outside their supply chain, create my own. Whether that's gardening, whether it's self-defense, whether it's food storage, whether it's ability to store water, you know, I want to be able to do that. All we need to do right now is, what in the intelligence world, what they call it, is peeling the onion. You know, the outer pieces of the onion you might not care about. You want to get to the center of that onion. And the onion pictured as information, and you just keep peeling it back and peeling it back. And that answers the question why when you do that, Dave. You peel it, and all of a sudden it's like, now I know why. Now I know what the plan is. I've observed, oriented, I've made my decisions, and my actions will there go to save my life. So that's what people need to be doing right now. Again, you can go and study OODA loop, OODA. It's a technique that's taught to most law enforcement and military people. And that's what I taught about the fight. I've observed the fight. I orient to the fight. But if I don't know why, I can't decide and act correctly. The first thing I have to do is gain intelligence. And that intelligence drives the fight all the way through. So that's what we need to do. We need to educate ourselves to what we're facing. We need to decide, orient to it. We decide what our actions will be. And then, you know, I know people that get to that point and don't put it into action. And so action is doing things. We need to get our butts off the sofa, stop pounding down Ben and Jerry's, turn off Jeopardy, and, you know, go out and learn to garden. Get in a self-defense class. John Lovell, I don't know if he even has any classes available. Brush Beater, Matt Everett. They all teach, you know, all these different courses, radio, firearms tactics, all these things that are available for us to learn. Instead of buying the big screen TV, orient yourself to those types of techniques, self-defense, gardening, communication, you know, networking with people. And that improves our chances of surviving what they have planned for us dramatically, because we do not have to be in their supply chains, and we've definitely escaped from their system of thinking, the logic they use of how to entrap us. We've stepped outside of that barrier, and we think for ourselves again.
You know, okay, so one of the things one of the first things you mentioned was make sure you gain or obtain intelligence or intel about a situation. You know, one of the things I want to ask you about, because to me this is one of the problems, is the polluted or contaminated intelligence, deliberately contaminated intelligence. Case in point, the vaccine adverse reaction database, it's low, if anything, whereas the coronavirus hospitalizations, it's overstated. Many people I see are acting on wrong intelligence, bad intelligence. Is that, how do you fight that?
Well, the intelligence is out there. It's the fact that the people who are presenting it to you are interpreting it in a way that gives you the wrong conclusions. So if there's a gas shortage, it's just temporary. A food shortage is just temporary. It's designed to make you complacent. But, you know, 80% of all intelligence the government gathers is through open source intelligence. Facebook, Instagram, your social media, credit cards, all those things, you know, that's how they track those people in Washington, is with their cell phones. I mean, that has an IP address, and it gives an exact location of where you're at. So they use all that open source intelligence to make conclusions that they act upon. OODALOOP. You know, I just have pages and pages of stuff here. I mean, just pages of stuff I've downloaded. I mean, here's one right here. It's the Washington Post, and it talks about the energy crisis. You know that China right now is having to ration electricity. Europeans are paying sky high prices for liquefied natural gas. India is running out of coal, and the average price of gasoline in the United States is $3.25 versus $1.72 in April. So, I mean, all those things are just intelligence you can gather, and then when you start putting all that intelligence together, you have to start to the conclusion that this is not deliberate, especially when you listen to what these people say. They openly admit that they want to kill most of the people on the planet. I mean, which one of the princes said, if I come back, I want to come back as a virus and kill most of the planet? Yeah. And all these oligarchs are now saying, you know, we need to get rid of billions of people. You know, the very people that are saying we need to get rid of people, the very people making, you know, and investing in these medicines that supposedly cure us. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's just, you need to, again, use that OODALOOP formula, observe, orient, decide, and act. I mean, I've made my decisions and I'm acting upon them. Peeling the onion, you know, you start peeling it back and the truth kind of reveals itself, but you have to take off the glasses of what they try to put on you. You have to look at it objectively. And one of the two ways I would use to say the qualifiers I use to objectively look at something, one is the Bible. How does God deal with nations that bring about the sin we're doing? The abortion, the perversion of marriage, you know, the lawlessness that we see. God hates all those things. And if you read the scripture, he brings judgment on the nations that do, and history bears that out. And that's the second witness that I use, is history. I mean, you look at any nation, the Greeks, the Romans, the Hittites, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, you name them, that did what we did or doing, and their nations come to an end. And I think right now America's at end of empire, and, you know, we're going to suffer collapse. I just read a story on Drudge. I haven't researched it out yet, but it's one of the chief people in our intelligence agency. It says China has surpassed us in AI technology, AI, artificial intelligence technology. So, I mean, here we are. We used to be the world's leaders, and we're definitely succumbing to becoming, you know, a second-rate nation. Our currency has absolutely been voided and worthless. And that here is, again, the insanity of it. We have think of the insanity of this. We have supply chain issues. There's not enough materials out there for you to buy. No, you can't. The Twinkies aren't there. The cars aren't there. Whatever it is, the TVs aren't there. And all of a sudden, our illustrious Congress wants to dump another $3.5 trillion in this economy. So you have more and more paper dollars, worthless dollars, chasing more and more hard goods. That's a recipe for massive inflation. And that's what we're seeing. Inflation's now at a record high for, what, over 30 years? And I probably think it's more because 30 years ago, they didn't use the shrinking size of something. And now you can go, the other day, I just saw these small cans of Coca-Cola or something. You know, they're making it smaller, but charging the same, you know, or, you know, so they're getting people used to seeing, reduced size of something. It's not a pint anymore. It's 2 ounces short of a pint, but we charge the same amount. They didn't do that 30 years ago. But now it's being done, so you get less, pay more, and, you know, it's not inflation. And again, we know that gasoline, food, housing, all that stuff is not counted in inflation. So, they have a very good way of couching and hiding it. But, you know, we just have to see past it. If we don't see past it, you're gonna suffer horribly from what's coming. That's my opinion. The Deagle death count. Yes. You know, they've taken it offline now. But, you know, they had it up there for a better part of 10 years. And, you know, 2025, it looks like, good grief, if things don't change, there is going to be a high death count in this nation. Even the left is pushing this civil war. They're actually pushing it. They're pushing all the buttons that create a civil war. Race, religion, and class. All those buttons are being pushed. You know, I mean, overall, there's not a major race problem in this nation. I mean, there's some oddballs out there that do it. But overall, I mean, the religions get together, you know, and, you know, the financial class, you know, the rich are definitely exploiting it over the poor and they're getting tired of it. So we see this, we see the perfect civil war being brewed, but it's not being brewed by people like you and I, or Christian people or conservative people. It's being brewed by the people who proclaim, you know, scream the loudest about it. And so, yeah, we are faced with some real things. The intelligence paints a picture that I think is, pretty ironclad. And, again, what you need to do is for your family, you to get ready for it. You know, I'm a big proponent of night vision, because if you don't have it half the day, you can't see. But I'll tell you right now, the supply chain of it's drying up.
You know, if you don't mind, address that, because one of the things, Bob, by the way, Bob Griswold, Ready Made Resources, make sure you go to the website and bookmark that website and shop. One of the things that I've got to say about the, and their night vision right there, for you, and there are different quality night vision. You've got great quality night vision. We've used it in the field, and it's made an, it made all the difference in the world, especially when you're, when the people that you are, I don't want to say battling against, but when you, or the subjects of your focus don't have night vision. So it makes all the difference in the world. Let's talk about night vision, because a lot of people say, well, I can't afford it. It's too much. You know, how do you expect, but the importance of it cannot be understated, I think. Right. I mean, because we're going to be coming into some really dark times, and if the lights go out, period, we're going to need something of a force multiplier in order to survive, right?
Well, bad people do bad things at night, and if you don't have the ability to see at night, your ability to respond to that, you won't observe. The first rule of OODA is observe, orient, decide, and act. You won't be able to observe, so you can't orient, decide, or act. I mean, you're crippled from the beginning. And so your ability to observe is critical. With the modern night vision, and we don't sell the garbage stuff that a lot of people have looked through that is really a joke. This is all military grade night vision. The first thing most people say when they look through one of our night vision units is, oh my gosh, I didn't realize. I mean, you can see hundreds of yards away on a very, very dark night. And so it gives you a strategic advantage that I would say this, there's nothing that the average person can buy that will give them the force multiplication that night vision gives a person. We can't afford Apache attack helicopters unless you're a terrorist and Joe Biden will give you one. And that's another thing. 16,000 pair of night vision and thermal units ended up in Afghanistan, compliments to the U.S. taxpayer. They got all that stuff. And it was, you know, so I can only imagine what they're cooking up to do with it. But for people like you and me, the average citizen, we just want to see what's going on around us so we can observe, orient, decide, and act. If I see, you know, if the power's gone out and lawlessness is abounding and I see people approaching my house, you know, with guns in their arms or hands and they've not been invited, I'm going to definitely take a very defensive posture, maybe an offensive posture, and, you know, make sure that they cannot do what they intend to do to my family. Because I have to remember this, having traveled the world and been into a lot of really dark places in the world, the number one commodity right now that men look for is women. And, you know, the thought of my wife or my granddaughters or something like that ending up in the foul hands of people that, you know, Craig Sawman Sawyer deals with, you know, selling them, would be too much for me to bear. I couldn't do that. You know, I would definitely act on that in an offensive manner. But that's what it gives us the ability to do, see clearly at night. Because if you don't have it half the day, you can't even function with OODA loop, O-O-D-A. You can't even do it because you can't do the first thing, intelligence gather. You're just looking out at dark woods or dark places. And you can say, well, I live in a community, there's streetlights. Well, what happens if those streetlights go out? It'll be just as dark as anywhere else. So, yeah, night vision is a critical thing, in my opinion. It's getting harder and harder to get because more and more people are buying it. If you go to some websites, they're telling you 4 to 5 months out. We do have units in stock. You have to call to see which ones are in stock, but we do have it, and we do offer financing on it. But I want to say that. And then again, if you have your night vision, the thermal, we were doing a training scenario with brush beater Matt Everett, where, you know, he had 2 10-man teams, and 1 10-man team would go in and bed in the woods, and the other 10-man team had to go find them. Well, it was dark, rainy, cloudy night, and they had gone in and bedded and covered themselves real well. Well, back in the woods, and we had a little difficulty with the night vision, so we pulled out a thermal unit, and boy, oh boy, there they were. I mean, just you couldn't hide from it. And Jamie Walden, which you know, he was leading our team, and he cut our team in half and sent the other team around to flank them, and by the time it was done, that team didn't do too well.
Man, I'll tell you what, by the way, folks, it has a lot of practical applications, like that, especially in a defensive posture, which a lot of us are going to find ourselves in. So, I can't recommend this high enough. And I say this from the heart because, folks, based on my investigation research of things that are happening now and things that are coming and people are, I get people all the time, putting stuff in my ears saying, okay, this is, you know, this is what so-and-so is talking about. This is what they're talking about. And, you know, after vetting the information, I've got to be able to make choices or, you know, decide which is authentic and which is, you know, what to run with. And, Bob, you're in the same fashion. So all of the things that you mentioned, are important. So let me ask this because, to the viewers, listeners to this broadcast, if you're listening to this now and people are sitting back, well, man, you know, where do I start? Where would you recommend on your website, for example, where do people start? Food obviously is number
food
one.
And water.
Food and water.
Water is even more important than food. The survival rule is if you don't have water, do not eat food. Because especially dehydrated food, because it could absorb a bunch of water out of your body you don't have. So make sure you have the ability to procure clean drinking water. One of the biggest things after a crisis like a hurricane and stuff like that is waterborne disease. And I know I've never had one, but I've had friends that have had Giardia, and believe me, it is horrible. It's a gut evacuator, if you know what I mean, and it can last for a while. So you just want to be able to filter water. Now, sometimes that might mean boiling it if you don't have anything else, but they do make there's so many water filters out there today that will take out and make clean, pure drinking water. You know, if you want the best, I like a Trekker by NOAA Water Systems. Is that's a mini water plant. I mean, it takes out everything. It runs on a 12-volt battery. You can make 60 gallons an hour. Just think how many neighbors you could keep satisfied and earn favor with if you were passing out free gallons of water to your neighbors that didn't have any. I mean, that's creating a network, which is a big thing I do recommend. Food, if you can't garden, which you're probably not going to be in a garden to meet all your needs unless you live on a homestead. We can raise chickens, cows, and then grow vegetables, fruit trees, whatever. You know, you're going to need to get storage food. And then the other thing we haven't addressed a lot of is communication.
Oh, yeah.
You know, communication is absolutely critical, all the way from satellite phones to ham radios to shortwave radios. It's all going to be an important thing. As I tell people, you know, the ability to gain intelligence in your local area is critical. And it's a little tongue in cheek, but I put it this way. If the zombies are eating people in New York and I'm in Teleco Plains, is it going to affect me? No, not a whole lot. But if the zombies are eating people in Teleco Plains, is it going to affect me? Absolutely. I want to know what's going on in Teleco Plains. I want to know what's happening here. And so I gain intelligence in my area, and it gives me a better chance to survive. Because even though I might feel sorry for the people in New York, it's not going to directly impact me. So communication, being able to listen, and that's what I tell people. The main purpose of radio is we have to get over this thing of talking. The main purpose of radio is listening. I'd rather gain intel than give intel. I mean, just as simple as somebody you hear on the radio going, honey, or my old lady, that's two different things. The guy's married, I can deduct that. But one, you know, my old lady, it's like, man, where's a Mack truck when you need one? You know, and the other one, honey, is a term of endearment. So, you know, it gives me intel on that person. And in the intelligence community, the purpose of intelligence gathering is exploitation. Believe me, if you say honey on the radio, somebody's listening with nefarious purposes is going to know he has a wife he cares about, and I'm going to exploit that. So, again, we want to be careful of what we say. But radios, you know, we carry a lot of ham radios, a ham radio operator. And then again, the night vision, medical supplies, just everything from reading glasses to stuff you get at, you know, your drugstore, topical ointments, anesthesia, like Tylenol, ibuprofen, you know, stuff for diarrhea. What do they call that? I've got the name off the top of my head, but, you just throw up on that.
A bad day.
yeah, a bad day. Imodium. Just came to me, Imodium. Stock up on the things that you would need for emergencies, you know, band-aids, gauze, things of that nature, because you know, they're even talking about people not being able to get medical treatment that don't take the jab. You might be your own doctor. In fact, that's one thing I always tell my, when I go to a new doctor or something like that, and they go, who's your primary healthcare provider? And I look at them and go, well, I am. You know, I'm a primary health care provider. You're not the one making sure I go to the gym and work out. You're not the one making sure I have a good diet. I am. So I'm the first one to take care of my health. And I think we need to gain more and more of that mentality that, you know, we might be the ones that do take care of our health and not rely so much on the medical industry, because that could be taken away from us at any time. So maybe even have a network of people who have more advanced medical training, you know, first responders of that nature, but even storing up on those things. But, you know, ammunition, firearms, you know, being able to protect my family. So those are some of the top things I would recommend getting right now, post-haste, because I'll tell you, the food industry is getting more and more scarce. The water filters, a lot of the drip gravity filters are on backwater. Ammunition and firearms, we've seen what's happened there. Doug, if I ask a question, you know, why would somebody cripple our military at the same time they cripple our healthcare profession, at the same time they're crippling our education, at the same time they're compromising our religious values, at the same time they're destroying the supply chain economics, at the same time they're devaluing our money? They do that.
And there it is, all in one question, one sentence question. There it is. And understand why. It's again, this is a very, very dark agenda that's been pushed against the West and America. We see what's happening in Australia. We see what's happening in Canada, and it's coming to America, or it's already here. It's just maybe Australia light, shall we say. But there it is, all in one question, one sentence question.
Again, can I stop any of that? I can pray about it. I can ask the Lord to give us mercy, give us revival. I can examine my own heart and repent of any sin I have in my life, get myself right with God, make sure my family's right with God, put myself in a position where I have relative safety. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to be able to stop, you know, them from firing good generals. I'm not going to be able to stop them from letting good doctors go, or, you know, airline pilots, or, you know, I'm not going to be able to stop that. So I have to prepare for it. Because I understand what the agenda is. The agenda is to eliminate, you know, billions of people from this planet. that's the agenda. And
there it is. Yeah. So we have to, you know, we, although we can't stop maybe generals from, you know, the good generals from being fired, or the doctors, good doctors from being escorted out because of, you know, not being jabbed and such, we can make a difference in our own venue, our own realm of existence. We can, that civil disobedience you talked about earlier, it's important to do that. It's important to be that resistor, because every single person who resists wears down the enemy, in my view. And I think
we don't need violence at this point. You know, excuse me. This article was in the Atlantic, and it says the economy now, the 1 hour errands now take multi-hour odysseys. And I would say it's going to change to multi-day odysseys, as it gets worse, because that's their goal, is to cripple the supply chain. So they're all dependent upon government handouts and government money. And so act accordingly. If you understand why, you'll act accordingly. If you don't, I hope you like a government food line. Put your hand out. We need a mark to put in your hand. You know, that's what's coming. So you can do that. I have friends in the home construction. And that article in the Atlantic recently, it says America's running out of everything. You can look it up on the Atlantic's website. It says, eyeing a new home improvement job that requires construction workers. This is the article. Ha, ha, ha. Pray for 2022. You know, you want a crib? Wait till December. You know, you want a book? Wait till next month. That's what it says in that. In fact, if you read that article on the Atlantic, it almost sounds like something that's apocalyptic literature out of the Bible. I mean, that's how they're painting it. They're a fairly progressive liberal magazine, but that's what they're saying. You know, they're dropping a dime of intelligence on you. What are you going to do with it? You just going to ignore it and think, well, it'll be better next year. We're praying for 2022 that it'll be better. Well, if history is any key to what we can see, 2022 is going to be a really dire year. In fact, by the end of this year, you know, just think, when it gets cold outside, and they're already admitting that there's a severe fuel shortage. People who use coal oil to heat their home, what are they going to do when people start getting cold because there is no oil to heat their homes with? Your water freezes, your pipes burst. We saw that in Texas. So it can create a lot of problems. And they're already admitting that there's going to be a supply chain shortage, or there is a supply chain shortage of fuels right now.
Bob, I appreciate your time. We're at the end of the segment. Bob Griswold, ReadyMadeResources.com. What an incredible, insightful download of information. I want to thank you so very much, and I just want to say how much I appreciate you, folks. In my view, okay, without trying to hype this up, a national treasure, someone who you need to listen to. And we need to keep in prayer, lift up in prayer. Bob Griswold, Ready Made Resources. Thank you, sir.
God bless. Thank you, Dave.
All right. No worries. All right. Folks, take this seriously. Take what he said seriously. This is an incredibly, momentous time in which we live. And I have to say that we're not going to, you know, like he said, 2022. We'll change things in 2020. We'll change things next year, right? The elections. No, you don't understand. We are in the fight of our lives. We really are. And we have to really understand the fight in which we find ourselves. And it's extremely important to understand that we have to act, and we have to be our own resources to the extent we can. I kind of think I know my demographics, who's listening, who's watching. For the most part, all of us are independent, but a lot of us are dependent upon others for that independence, if you know what I mean. So we have to take it upon ourselves to because I'm worried about everybody. As I often joke with everyone, okay, I can't afford to lose anybody. I can't afford to lose listeners and viewers. I'm joking, but I'm not really joking. I don't want to lose people who I consider friends. And I consider everyone listening to this with good intent to be friends. It's just, so we, you know, people say, well, we're all in this together. No, we're not. No, we're not. You can see the divisions all across the country. I'm not in this with Pelosi or Feinstein or Biden or no. They're creating, or Gates or Soros or Fauci. Okay, they're creating a situation. I'm not in it with them, but I'm in it with you. And speaking about being in it with you, you know something? Let me just mention this. By the way, today's episode is sponsored by Honey. All right. Have you heard of Honey? Yes. Honey, the, well, we all shop online and we've all seen the promo code field, I guess you call it. It taunts us at checkout. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes, that is a thing of the past. I'm dating myself now, searching for coupons. Remember coupon cutting? Well, this is a lot easier than that, I can tell you that. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, and these stores range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. You heard me, food delivery. Now, here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping from one of your favorite sites, and when you check out the Honey Bunny Button, there it is, Honey Bunny Button. Let's do that, right? The Honey Button drops down, and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. And with just wait a few seconds, and Honey searches for all the coupons it can find or the coupons it can find for that site. And if Honey does find a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. And I've got to say, we've used this here at the office, at the studios. We've saved hundreds of dollars on one single purchase, maybe even thousands on, across the board on various purchases. And I like to save money, and I know you do too. Because, when we upgraded the piece of studio equipment here, we saved like, just on one piece of equipment, which was very expensive, we were able to save pretty close to $100. So that's in your pocket money. That's in my pocket money. And I like to save it. I like to be a good steward about saving money and about with my money. All right. Honey has found it's over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Here's what you need to do to take advantage of this. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free. It installs in just a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. That's right. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. Remember, joinhoney.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. You're going to thank me later. You'll be glad you did. I'm sure. Yes, sir. All right. And yes, ma'am. Yes, sir and ma'am. All right. This hour, if it's Tuesday, not Monday, but Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan Dale from standale.com. And we're still waiting for him? Okay. Not a problem. Not a problem. But with going back to hour one, did you see this? This is how crazy. I don't know if you can cue this up. I know you're doing like five people's jobs at one time here. Eric the Tech, he's an unsung hero of this broadcast. That video. Okay. Take a look at this. This is, now we were talking about the whys, the first hour. Okay, why are things happening? Watch this and tell me how much sense this makes. It's a clip, and you've probably seen this. If you haven't, well, here it is. Watch this and tell me how much sense this makes.
I'm being escorted out of UCLA for standing up for medical freedom, despite coming to work. Willing to work, and I just can't believe that this is what they're doing right now, and I'm going to fight for all of us out there, and I will continue to fight, and this is not okay. Came to work despite being unvaccinated, willing to work for patients, to help out staff, and this is how we're treated.
All right. So again, going back to the first hour as to why, this is not that segment or that video alone should tell you this is not about health. It never was about your health. It never was about health. It's about authority, making sure that the people that they want in that position are there and not the people that are free thinkers. And again, this is not about health. This is all about control. Stan Dale from standale.com. As I mentioned earlier, introduced him earlier, a little bit premature, but I did. And here he is with me now, Stan Dale from standale.com. And hopefully a cameo appearance by Holly Dale as well. Stan, how are you?
And Holly's not going to be on today because she's busy over there doing the news update.
Okay. Well, that's okay. And that's an important
task. But
she's
in the room. She can yell at us if she needs to.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yell away at will. All right, Stan, I'm going to turn this over to you. What do you want to talk about? That's what I mean, turning over to you. What do you want to talk about?
Well, there's a lot of things to talk about. Some, you know, world events, a war and stuff like that. But I thought I might go to another topic here if I can just see it here. Oh, haven't got it up. Okay. All right. Let's go with slide 58, Eric, on China and Taiwan. Now, slide 58, if you read the article, China has been running military landing games on a beach just opposite of Taiwan. You know, threatening, saying that we're coming, and they've been having multiple fighter and bomber aircraft fly over South Korea or just on the borders and stuff just to tease them. But this is telling us, if you look at the article there, that China is really pressing for South Korea to not fight them, to join them and reunify the Koreas, North and South. Now, you might wonder why, but China is in trouble financially, and it's in trouble financially because of building. A few years back on the show here, I discussed the fact that China had been building ghost cities. They had these super high-rise apartments and stuff, and there was nobody in them. In fact, if you look at them now, there's weeds growing in between the buildings on the land and the sidewalks and stuff. They built these things on spec, I guess. It's crazy. But one of the largest builders there of all these homes, like with hundreds of millions of dollars worth of debt and finance on these buildings, is a company called Evergrande, the Evergrande Group. And slide 59 shows you that. If you click on that picture, actually, just click on the picture, and you'll see there, Eric, that there's a 52 trillion, not billion, a $52 trillion bubble, financial bubble, that China is grappling with over what was the epic property boom. And if you look at the pictures there, you'll see they've already started to tear down some of the buildings because they cost more to keep them up unoccupied than just let them stand there. Are you able to click onto that?
Got it right picture? Here. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. I didn't know whether you had it or not. I was just seeing the wrong thing there. Let's see here. Yeah. Okay. I need to look at the gallery. That's right.
Yes. Okay. So, sorry about that. Yeah. I know that it can be confusing sometimes. Folks, if you're listening to this on Global Star or elsewhere, just go over to HagmanReport.com and make sure you look at this by way of Rumble or Brighty on. And I'll tell you what, you'll be able to see these images that Stan's talking about. And make sure you go to standale.com show images page and follow along there. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Now, right underneath slide 59 is slide 56, still talking about the financial situation of Taiwan. Now, we're looking at some of the motivations. First of all, they're having this huge financial bubble, real estate bubble, that's about to collapse. If Evergrande goes down, then the other building companies there in China are probably going to go down as well, kind of like a chain of dominoes. So in slide 56, if you click on either the picture or the text, it starts telling about a Taiwanese chip manufacturer that, you know, makes, I think, 540 billion, trading, you know, in semiconductors. Now, if China were to get South Korea to join with them of their own free will and unify the countries, then North Korea would inherit, all the technology that U.S. has given over to, South Korea, and they would inherit the income from the Taiwan chip manufacturing amidst other things that Taiwan's doing. This is a, a real clear and present danger to us and to anybody who's building products that need chips, like car manufacturers and stuff like that. So in addition to losing, you know, Taiwan as a foothold over in the Middle East, or sorry, in the East of the country, of the world, we are now losing, you know, chip manufacture, which directly affects us in all kinds of ways. It's not good over there. The Koreas, you just got to watch that, and you got to watch Taiwan. So
this now specifically about the chips only, and let me ask this, okay? This is just a this is a consequence of military and political posturing and domination, as opposed to how can I put this, globalist design, I suppose. Maybe the distinction is no difference. There's no difference in the distinction here. But regardless, we're in trouble.
Well, you know, the distinction between the global conspiracy, you know, the global government and China and Asia around it, there is a difference, I do believe, because if you remember in the Revelation of John toward the end of the Armageddon days, you know, when the kings of the East, a 200 million man army with all the kings of the East. That's not just China. That's all of Asia over there joining, maybe even Japan. And they stand out apart from the New World Order set up by the Antichrist. Now, they may kowtow to it for a year or two whenever it's formed, but in the end, they're going to go against the New World Order. So these movements here are definitely local movements by China to secure resources it needs and to deny us resources that we need. And the rest of the world, of course, it depends on the export of the chips and various other things from South Korea. It's quite confusing, I know, but the world government is going to take everything but Asia, and they will only play along for a while. Just remember that.
Well, it's important. You know, your evaluation assessment is important to understand. I appreciate that. You know, how you laid that out, because, you know, we're at the end of the end, or we're at the, I shouldn't say at the end of the end, we're at the end segment here of world history, I believe, right? I mean, you'd agree with that.
Well, close, before the thousand year trip, the millennial age, right. we're on the doorstep of that, but we're certainly at the sunset of the man-made governments on the planet. We're at the end.
Okay. Yeah. And that's, I think it's important for us to understand, all of us to understand. And I think most people who are aware do understand that we're at this point in history and that we have to adapt. And, when I say adapt, I mean understand where we are and posture ourselves in, you know, with God and make sure we're right with God and God's right with us in terms of, you know, our actions. So, okay. All right. I'm going to shut up now. Words are just falling out of my mouth. Like, hey, go ahead.
That's okay. Speaking of, you know, of the end times and peace and stuff, an article came up here in the last couple of days about the Cherokee tribe, the Echota, a Cherokee tribe in Alabama. It's in slide 60, Eric, if you want to click on that. And it's an article on the Israel 365 news site in Jerusalem. And it's telling about how this tribe has endorsed or recognized Israel as a Jewish nation and Jerusalem as its eternal capital. Now, I find that interesting for some reason, but to have the people, the tribal people of North America, you know, the Cherokee on the East Coast, turn around and do what, you know, we're having trouble keeping this occupiers of the White House supporting, and that is supporting Israel as a sovereign Jewish nation and Jerusalem as its eternal and undivided capital. Now, this is just, you know, it's a brotherhood that I didn't expect, but I really appreciate. I thought I would just share that with you. Just a quick note on that.
You know, that's an important thing. And there it is, folks. The headline's up there. The article is up there. Cherokee tribe of Alabama recognizes Israel as a Jewish nation, Jerusalem as its eternal capital. When in fact we're seeing politically, seeing like the Squad and other people, really anti-Jerusalem and anti-Israel. And understand, folks, we're not talking about the, Well, we're talking about the Israel of the Bible, I suppose. So there it is.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Israel is in trouble. Netanyahu was in trouble, and he was, in my opinion, the Trump of Israel. And of course, he's been voted out, and even his own party, the Likud, L-I-K-U-D party, are going to dump him. It looks like the former Israeli cabinet minister and speaker of Knesset, Yuli Edelstein, has declared his intention to challenge Benjamin Netanyahu for the leadership of the Likud party. The reason he did this is he thinks that having a guy that's, you know, in court being tried for criminal charge, or, you know, like he's being accused of criminal charges and he's going to be facing all these legal actions, that he's not going to let the Likud party win in the next election. He's bad press or, you know, bad PR or something for the Likud party. And to me, he was one of their most dynamic and logical kind of pro-military leaders to help defend Israel against Iran and other forces that may or may not come later. Anyway, this guy that's taking, you know, going against him, wants to, declare his leadership of the party and force another election within a couple of years. One of many that's been happening in Israel at the moment. It's just a house divided, just like us. They're horribly divided even in the Likud party, which is one that I'd like to see. The party that's in now, the prime minister is a hawk, so he may do better than Bibi. I don't know. But in these times, you don't want mealy-mouthed, weak politicians handling Israel and its military and international policy. It's a worry.
So you don't want Brandon over there? Let's go. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I laugh, but it's sad. I mean, we can't wait for November elections to resolve what is happening here. By that time, the country will be absolutely defunct, destroyed. We just can't wait. Something has to be done in the meantime.
You know, I don't want to take you off agenda here, but it's so many people are saying, well, you know, 2022, the elections are going to get to, you know, they're so important. But you know, again, it's who counts the votes. We saw what happened with, and also the media too, the media's portrayal of things. If you listen to mainstream media, Arizona audit proved that Biden won the election when in fact that's not true. Again, taken out of context, and you know, people only have a perception, not our audience and not you folks, but the perception of people is very, very limited, you know, like an inch deep and 10 miles wide. You know, it's just crazy how things are working out. But, you know, we can't wait. And this is the thing we talked about the first hour, you know, why are these things happening? Well, it's all by design. It's not a bug. It's a feature. So, this is why you've been so important. And I have to say this. And I'm saying this, for the purposes of new listeners and new viewers. Folks, Sam Dale was talking about these things years ago on this show and even before that on Coast to Coast with Art Bell. Again, the man, the myth, the legend, Sam Dale. So, I want to thank you for everything. And the book that you wrote, Cosmic Conspiracy, in tandem with Holly's book, Dare to Prepare. I'm telling you what, in my view, that's just about all you need to know. But, you know.
Well, the good Lord raised up Holly and I together to, you know, present this kind of information to the people. Yeah. And, you know, she researched a lot of government documents and stuff to get the Dare to Prepare book, you know, fully completed and in, I think, 69 chapters and several hundred pages. It's 632, isn't it right? 632 pages. The stuff that I've put in the Cosmic Conspiracy and talked about on your show and Art Bell's show, a lot of that has come based on interpreting biblical prophecy, just literally. And, you know, 28, 25 years ago, it wasn't exactly popular. It was kind of, you know, thought to be a religious nut and things like that. But now then, as you say, it is frontline news. It's headlines. And to that end, I also say, keep watching Damascus, because we know that the Iranians have been manufacturing parts over there for missiles to get over to Israel. And if Iran does get nuclear weapons on its own or from China or from Russia, whoever, they can use those against Israel. And this is going to cause Israel to make preemptive strike or strikes against those factories in Damascus. And certainly overnight, if that occurs, then Damascus would become a ruinous heap, like the failed volcanoes all around it where they have black, rock rubble heaps from failed volcanoes. So whether it's by God's hand there or by, Israel acting against them, Damascus is going to come down soon. That will precipitate a crisis, a conflict over in the Middle East and here. Now, before that happens, sorry, go on.
No, I just agreeing with you. And I've always said that Syria would be the flashpoint for a third world war. And Damascus, of course, the epicenter of that flashpoint. So you're exactly right. Go ahead.
Yeah. And, with that about to happen, the United States has to be taken out of the game politically, militarily, whatever, as far as supporting and defending Israel against its enemies. Now, what we have is we have fifth columnists in the White House and supporting, the Biden grouping of people that have taken over the country. And these people are weakening us from within. They're weakening our military. They're weakening our cash position, all kinds of problems that we're having, and threatening us with internal civil war, which I'll cover in just a second. But that takes us out of the ability to be able to support, Israel in this attack. Now, to that end, in slide 57, which I found amazing when I read the story, you've got a caravan leader of about 60 to 90,000 people that are heading this way. And the leader of that says that he's going to get across the U.S. border with the government of the United States or not, and that they are ready for war. So in other words, they're going to be armed enough to come in and militarily take their caravan into the United States. And so this has got to precipitate military action, either to defend or to keep us, that are thinking this is crazy, from going down and stopping these guys from coming in, armed, invaders of the United States. But it's a move to take us out of the Middle East game, because the New World Order does want to get rid of Israel and all Jews there and here in the United States. And between the two of us, we have, the majority of those. So 60,000 Haitian and other migrants heading to Texas in this armed group, saying they are going to make it like war to get across the border. So don't stop us. We're coming into America. This cannot happen. This just cannot happen.
You know, I find it interesting on that same, subject, there was a recent interview by a reporter at the border who interviewed one of the coyotes, a big runner of humans and even drugs, okay? And he was asked, what's different between now and let's say 2-3 years ago? And and ultimately, through the translation, he said, under Trump, and again, I'm paraphrasing here, under Trump, we wouldn't even think about doing this. And it shows the weakness of Mr. Marbles and the perceived weakness, but the intent of flooding our country with people who are not like us, which is not an indictment against immigrants. It's an indictment against invasions like this. So go ahead.
I've mentioned China a few times today. Makes me think of what my son Nathan used to say about the Chinese. He says, they look so different to us genetically, the slant eyes, the heavy eyelids and all that stuff and their body structure. He says, I really think that they are aliens. And he was joking. But we know that in the post Garden of Eden time in what is now Atlantis, but it was where the fallen ones were causing chimeras to be formed between human DNA and animal DNA. We know that that was happening back then. And so here we are at this point with a race of people that worship, well, like most of Asians, worship a dragon, from ancient times, red dragon. And it's even red, like in the book of the Revelation. Now, suppose that the crossbreeding that occurred in the pre-flood days there in the Levant, Lebanon and Israel in that area, suppose that that crossbreeding, that some of them did survive and that they are the ones that, you know, settled up in China and Asia after the flood. That would indicate then that we have a semi-alien or fallen ones DNA population. And if that's the case, then I understand why they're so dedicated in destroying Israel. Aliens. I just, you know, I laughed at it at the time. I said, you know, gee, Nate, that's right. It does sound like that. And nowadays I'm starting to think, well, I wonder if there was more to what he said, you know, what he meant than we realized at the time. Anyway.
Just, yeah. And that's an interesting observation. It is what it is. So very interesting, thing to point out.
Yeah. I had to laugh. I'm, you know, sitting here while Holly's been doing the news this evening and getting ready for tomorrow. And, you know, we were talking about that video that Kamala Harris did with the kids talking about space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sinking ship productions too, right?
Yeah. Sinking ship. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We just cackled over that because it's just so obviously crazy.
Telling you. And doesn't that fit, though, Stan and Holly? Doesn't that fit with what we're seeing? Everything's a sinking ship productions. That whole thing was produced. It wasn't spontaneous. They weren't just children that were. No, it was a big production. It was all it was stagecraft. Oh my gosh! Oh,
it's stagecraft when Biden talks from the White House and he's not even there. They've set up a prop or a set somewhere. Probably so that nobody knows where he is, because he's definitely so unpopular that he's at risk.
But
with his own party.
I find that very, very strange that, wouldn't you just, if you were president, Stan, and I wish you were, but you're not, but if you were, wouldn't you just talk in your own environment? You know, you wouldn't go to the executive office building and say, well, it's because of this or that. You know, my goodness, everything about this is fake. It's a fraud. But I'm sure you'd speak from the Oval Office or you'd speak from the East Room or whatever. But no, not here. I don't know.
Well, I'd be guilty of that. I mean, I speak from, you know, my green screen backgrounds from our house or the family house northeastern France. Yeah, this is the family castle.
But, yeah. You know, well, people know that. You're not portraying that as your own place, right? So
No.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Honest to gosh. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off on a tangent there, but when you mentioned Kamala Harris and the space thing, sinking ship productions, you just can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. And we are such a big joke internationally.
Yeah,
I'm embarrassed for us. It's, you know, I expected it to come, and I knew that we were going to go down. I didn't really fancy coming back to the United States, but I guess looking at what happened to Australia, it was a good thing the good Lord moved us up here to finish our ministry here. In slide 51, Eric, there are two links. There's one for the text, you know, the first part of the text, and then after the word see, there's a video of flash flood downstream of Three Gorges Dam. Now, the article tells you, if you click on the article in slide 51, that article tells you, will China's Three Gorge Dam collapse? Will it collapse? And then the article goes on to the how many dams they've got feeding it. In China, get this, in China, there are 94,000 aging dams which are being put to the test by heavy rains and flooding. Now, with all that water coming into the system, that not all of it goes into the Three Gorges Dam thing, but with what is going into the Three Gorges Dam, it could cause the dam to collapse. Now, there's one of the tributaries, a small one, that the Yihelan Dam could collapse at any time, and this is per Bloomberg. Now, this video tells about, you know, there's a video going with it, tells about why they think it's going to collapse and what the risk would be. But then if you go down to the bottom part of slide 51 there in the text, see video of flash flood. And if you click on that, it's an amateur video taken downstream from the Three Gorges Dam. And you got to see this. This was taken without there being collapse of it, but they were venting water. You know, they were bleeding water off of the dam to remove the pressure, reduce the pressure on Three Gorges Dam. Now, all right, you see these ships and everything, and what's going to happen now is you're going to see these ships that are in that downstream from Three Gorges Dam. They're now going to be thrown over the edge. Look at that. Look at that.
Wow.
You know, you're not hearing about this. We had to get this, you know, private video to see this. But I'm telling you, they are really threatened there with the collapse of that dam. And with their economy collapsing, you know, China is going to be forced, believe it or not, to go to war to keep its people from revolting against them. You know, if they go to war, the soldiers will be fed, you know, and people that join the, you know, the Communist Party army, whatever, they will survive better than if they were just civilians. So they're going to arm for war. I mean, countries have done this forever. When they have financial problems they can't get out of, they go to war, they make war instruments, they pay soldiers, and everybody is happy that they're at war, of course, except for the soldiers on the front line. But you can see how they are threatened in so many ways that they're going to have to, you know, the Communist Party was going to have to do something really severe. And that's going to come sometime in that 7-year tribulation, probably at the end of it, like it says in the Armageddon crisis in the Valley of Megiddo in northern Israel. But these things are shaping up so quickly. I just, you know, I can't believe it. It's just amazing.
You know, it's seriously, it's times like this. I miss Art Bell. But I'm glad we have you. That's incredible footage. I don't know if that's exclusive to standale.com, but there it is. Go to standale.com.
It's out there, though, and at the end of that video, you'll see the guy that was showing the video. He's the one that actually procured it.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. 94,000 dams. I can't wrap my mind around that. I used to think that America was the land of rivers and waters and stuff, you know, but China has a heap of them, apparently.
I guess so. And none too fresh, either, but okay.
Yeah, well, dead pigs and stuff they throw in there to get rid of them.
Oh, man. It's crazy.
Weather has been changing. We know that for the last 2 or 3 years. And, of course, the proponents of global warming due to human efforts and stuff have been saying it, you know, for longer than that. But it's the sun itself that's doing these things. As an example, I mean, I look at Saudi Arabia quite frequently, looking down at ground level, going over the place, you know, like 100 feet at a time, looking for signs of the ancient civilization that was Atlantis, you know, that lived there. So when I saw this article in slide 50, I needed to share it with you. It says, biblical lake forms in the empty quarter desert on the border between Saudi Arabia and Oman. Now, if you're looking at a map of Saudi Arabia, let's see here, this would be up toward Israel here, and then this would be down toward Oman here at the tip. You know, at the area where the ships cross for oil transports. And right in there, in that desert area, which is, I mean, if you look on Google Earth, it's solid red dunes, dirt. Even going underneath it at the high-res photographs, it's just dirt. And now then, this is a lake that's formed there from the rains from a hurricane. And there have been several other lakes that have formed in the region there as well from the, you know, the increased weather, you know, bringing the rains. In Isaiah 41:18, it says, I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. Now, this is probably talking about Israel, but, you know, Israel is just a breath away from Saudi Arabia. And, I looked at a map of the rainfall in Saudi Arabia. I found an interesting thing. I don't have the pictures of it up online this evening. I probably should have done that. But I was researching rainfall in Saudi Arabia. And there is a place, I think it's called Tabuk, T-A-B-U-K, over on the kind of western side of Saudi Arabia, northwestern side. And in that area is where the Exodus, you know, camp was, where Mount Sinai really was there in Saudi Arabia. And so I overlaid the rainfall map over that area to see where the rain could have produced fertile, you know, fields to feed the crops. Moses took his father-in-law's stuff, his sheep, over to feed behind the holy mountain, Sinai, to feed it because the fields were so rich there. And, there was 12 millimeters of rain a year showing in that spot right over at the base of where Mount Sinai really is and was. It proves that the Bible was absolutely correct in saying where Moses took his father-in-law's sheep, Jethro, is it Jethro, the Midianite priest? Yeah. What was the Midianite priest's name?
Oh, you're asking me now, right?
My mind has gone blank. But anyway, the Midianite priest who, Moses married one of his daughters, and the favor he did was there. And I have to put that map up because it was really cool, showing that the water rained in that one spot, very obviously there, and not anywhere south and east of there very much at all. But even today, they get 12 millimeters of rain a year, which is 10 inches maybe, something like that, 9 to 10 inches. But it's enough to water those crops. So it proves, again, the accuracy of the Bible talking about the Exodus and, the Genesis account of where they dwelt and what they did there.
The historical accuracy of the Bible is being proven over and over and over again, today. And you're doing it independent and, as well. I mean, showing the accuracy of the Bible by your research. And it's just an incredible, you know what, folks, go back and, in fact, go to standale.com and look at his, Garden of Eden. Look at all the series that he offers, all the information that he offers about this. It's really an incredible offering of information. So please do that. Standale.com. Go ahead, Stan.
Yeah, I think back occasionally when we look back and see the discoveries that the Lord's led me to. And I wonder in that out of body, that near death experience I had when I asked him out there, I said, how does all this work? And how do flying saucers work? How does the universe work and stuff? If he didn't download a lot of this stuff into my mind at that time, it was so much that I couldn't hold it in my conscious mind when I came back in my body, but it started to come back in dream visions early in the morning, say like 5 o'clock in the morning over the years. And I suspect that that's, I asked for this, but, the discoveries that he's led me to have been just incredible the way they've happened. A chance meeting here, a chance reading of this, someone sending you an email, someone making a phone call. And so it's not a one man operation here. Holly and I have been involved in what the Lord's been leading us to share with you here. It's been a wonderful trip.
And I got to tell you, collectively and myself individually, I feel very fortunate to, be in a position. And again, I didn't ask for this. I didn't look for this just to be here, but I'm here and, I'm very fortunate. I feel very fortunate to be a part of this in order to speak with you. It's an honor, really my honor to speak with you and Holly on a weekly basis. And I appreciate that. And I hope, our listeners and viewers, feel the same way. And I think they do. So.
Well, we're just as thankful for you and your show and what you and Eric do. And, what you've done over the years, you've been a good platform for not only my stuff, but other watchmen that are sharing information.
I got real quick. I got an email from someone who, Steve Cole's been very, very sick. So I did I filled in for him one of his, Q-file segments and got an email from someone. And it was just a van. It really made me feel good saying, individual said, it's really nice how you watchmen, watch out for one another and, uplift one another. And if someone's down, others come to their aid. And, Stan, it's that, understated, but important backing up of one another and uplifting each other. I think that really says a lot about this community and about our faith. Because without that faith and without that spiritual component, I don't think that would happen. I don't know. So it just made me feel really good.
Well, we know that the Holy Spirit is in the believers, and we're united through that wherever we are. The Lord doesn't depend on just one person to put His word out there. are people that are getting dream visions that are showing it on YouTube, which, you know, some may be, you know, delusional, but they do seem to all add together to the same things about to happen on the earth, in particular in Israel and the United States. So we're joined by the one spirit, and for that we must be eternally grateful, because it gives us a strong front to tell people what's happening and what their options are. They need to know the options.
That's right. That's right. And it's, wow. Well, thank you for again, I can't thank you and Holly enough for all that you do. And you know what, Stan, I just want to say this and I'll shut up, but you know, no one knows when the plug will be pulled or God will pull our plug or whatever. No one knows that. And it's always good to, in my view, to share, just to tell folks, if you're listening to this, tell the people that you love and care about that you appreciate them. I mean, before you can't do that, before they're not there or you're not there. So please do that. And, this world will be a better place. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it, definitely. I don't know how much longer, you know, we'll be able to do these things, these shows here together, but, until we can't, we put everything out there we can to help the faithful and those who would become believers to see their options, you know, and to be encouraged and not frightened. Or this stuff is going to be handled by our Creator. We know that. Anyway, sometime back, I talked about my work on alternate energy from the waves in the atmosphere made by the solar wind. And slides 46 and 47, 47 is for an animation showing that blue line waving around Earth in the magnetic field as the solar wind hits it and varies from moment to moment. And so that article, you know, I wanted to put that in there so the people would see that that's what I was tapping into. Article, I don't know whether you're an article or the picture, but the article itself on the one on the left, shows the surface waves, on the edge of our magnetosphere or magnetopause, what do you want to call it, for the Earth. The field is being thumped. And although this animation shows it kind of as a lazy changing wave, that's the major wave, that, you know, the major thrust of the entire solar wind wave at any point in time, which varies, you know, from week to week, month to month as we go around the sun. But what you don't see is that blue line has its own subharmonic vibrations up in the millions of cycles a second. And that is what you can trap with a charged antenna, you know, resonant antenna, to collect the electricity out of that and turn it into usable form here on the planet. Now, you know, it's, I don't know whether the powers that be have this technology yet. I'm sure they probably have for a number of reasons, but, to use this would mean that we don't have to use fossil fuels. We could actually build circuits on our cars and boats and houses and whatever to power them real time. Don't even have to have batteries, real time on the vibrations in our atmosphere from the magnetic field that is being bombarded by these charged particles from the sun and the solar wind. This stuff even works at night. It loses maybe 25% of its power at night because it's not facing the wave directly. But as you can see, the wave goes around behind us and trails behind us and affects our magnetopause as well there. So we could have free energy on demand just from the solar wind hitting our magnetic field. So I guess any planet that had a magnetic field in our system and was getting hit by solar wind, you could have local power there as well. Like, I don't know, maybe Mars, maybe we could have power there, but that's a talk for the future. I'm just showing you this to try to explain where I was getting the energy, you know, and why I made the patent application, harmonic energy exchange device, HEED, to tap this energy. Whether I get to finish mine or whether my partner Tim does or others who are researching this across the planet, I don't know. And whether we'd be able to share it with people, I don't know. Because the New World Order is probably going to put this out as a ubiquitous thing. If you support the New World Order and the Antichrist, then you can have free power and you can use electric cars and, oh, the world's going to be wonderful because we're not polluting the atmosphere and stuff and the environment. which does get clobbered by oil fields and fracking, things like that. Interesting stuff. And I hope this helps you understand where I was getting the energy before.
It does. I was looking at that dust actually a little bit. I like visuals. So that was a good visual.
Yeah, that's what struck me. You know, I use graphics and visuals a lot myself. And, it just left out at me. This will help people understand where that energy comes from that I was talking about, the atmosphere. And it's really even above the atmosphere, but we can pick it up in the atmosphere because of the waves that, of charge and magnetic field that go all the way to the core of the planet. Anyway. An interesting development here in slide 48 about Dr. Einstein, Professor Einstein, said that he studied the Roswell crash, the UFO, and the corpses of five aliens. Now, apparently he had an assistant who did not divulge this for, you know, the longest time. I guess she liked to breathe. I'm not sure. But anyway, in the article you've got up there, you see that he's talking about these aliens, the craft, what the aliens look like. And from what she said there, I assume that they are somewhat like what we've got in that picture there in that slide.
Did they have Chinese takeout aboard? I'm just asking.
Well, you know, I never asked that. We could write to her and see what he said. But
I'm joking, folks. Don't send me the hate mail. Go ahead.
I know, but look at the picture, at the video at the top of that article. Eric, just scroll down or where it says watch, or scroll up where it says watch the video, up the other way, up the other way, all the way to the top, a little bit further. Is that all you got?
Yeah. No. We're on a reader view. So, oh, there it is. There it is.
Yeah. Yeah. See that alien face?
Yep.
That's obviously a dummy made for the museum in Roswell, but it's the classic little gray alien eyes, and they are slant eyes, kind of like Chinese takeout. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. And wow, man, it looks like my ex-mother-in-law. I'm never mind. Actually, both of them do. But okay.
Well, I laugh about this, but you know, really, I had students at my course in the University of Curtin University when I was teaching Chinese students who were down there because they were rich Chinese. But my Chinese students were so brilliant. I mean, I'm sure if you took an IQ test across China, you'd find a lot of these. They're a disproportionate amount compared to what we have in this country for sure, and in India and stuff like that. But they are very, very smart. They're intuitive. The best students I ever had actually were Chinese. And so I'm not just disparaging, you know, all Chinese. I'm just saying that the genetic bloodline looks like it could have been influenced by, you know, the little gray critters or by the fallen ones injecting, you know, changes to their DNA. And there's some of the changes that are pretty good. I mean, like I say, they were so smart. I learned from my students. I'm telling you, they were good.
Yeah. And it's, and again, folks, observations and discussion. That's what we're doing. So, all right.
And you know, when I was teaching graphics to some of my students, you know, Chinese students, there's a tale I've told before about one little lady that she was sitting at her desk. I'd given them an assignment on the Macs, the computers there, to draw something, to create an artistic image using the programs that we had. And she was sitting there and her hands weren't moving. And her head was down. She was kind of looking at the keyboard. And I went over to, you know, and I said to her, are you okay? And I looked at her and she looked at me and she had tears in her eyes. She says, I'll draw anything you want. Just tell me, show me what to draw. I can't think of anything. And so it was the mentality that was forced upon them, the population there, to do as you're told. Don't think out of the box. And so it took me a few minutes to explain to her that that's okay. Let me show you how you do this. And, you know, I showed her, I said, look, take this picture of a city street and put this picture of a rose up there and put dewdrops on it and have a rose over this city. She said, oh, okay. And she did. And it was a marvelous creation. You know, the artwork was perfect. But you had to get her to break out of that mold of you're not allowed to think independently. You think party line, that's it. So It's they are victims of this structure that's been put upon them, and I'm sad for that. So please understand where I'm coming from on this.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a, that's a heartbreaking story, too, when you understand the control that's exerted. And boy, does that really quell the productivity and creativity. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, in slide 43, an interesting thing over the weekend here. In British Columbia, Canada, that's on the south, well, kind of the west side of Canada. A lady was asleep in her bed. Slide 51, if you click on that, you'll see that. She was asleep in her bed, and a meteorite crashed through the ceiling and down onto her pillow right next to her head. And, of course, she was asleep, and she thought, oof, what's all this dust and stuff, you know, all over my face? Didn't even hear the impact, and it was slowed up by that time, so it didn't go through the pillow. It just bounced off of that. And I thought, wow, is that something incredible? Now, from time to time, we see, you know, meteorites do hit a car or in some residential district, which, you know, is to be expected with the distribution of the population nowadays. But when I saw that, I thought, okay, what's happening over in New Hampshire? Because I'd gotten a report. Everybody was excited over New Hampshire and in Maine next to it, hearing this great boom. You know, it shook the ground and the buildings and stuff. So the people that were watching earthquakes in the area started saying, well, was it an earthquake? And they started checking seismometers, local and government and everything else. No earthquake, no earth movement. So it had to be a movement, you know, a boom in the atmosphere. So that goes back to, well, could it have been a meteorite entering the air there? Now that's kind of, you know, on the other side of the North American continent from, British Columbia, but it shows that we were probably picking up some pieces of, you know, a little cluster of, you know, meteors that we see, meteorites from time to time, you know, from these things that pass us regularly in orbits around the sun. So I went to slide 44, and if you click on the slide, you'll see all these little red dots are where people reported airbursts, booms. They heard it. They felt it. And that's New Hampshire. And you see also a little blue circle, well, a pretty big blue circle there. And you think, well, what is that? Well, this was an image taken from a satellite that CIRA at Colorado State University took from its satellite images, noticed a blue flash on their satellite observations over the northeastern U.S. coastline. Now, that is that circle. And if you go over to slide 45's picture, you'll see the actual image that the university took of this flash. And I believe it's no coincidence that that flash occurred on the edge of where everybody reported in slide 44 that boom came from. Just reminding us again that we are constantly getting smaller things dumped on us, but there could be bigger things on the way.
Wow. Biblically bigger. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Slide 42, we've talked about this a number of times, is the asteroid Apophis. Now, it's supposed to come close to the Earth by 2029. All right, so 8 years from now. They say it will pass at a distance of less than 20,000 miles. We have satellite constellations around our planet for communications and stuff that are at 25,000 miles out. So this could pass through and interrupt communications, you know, that whole swarm of satellites that we put up. It could interrupt that. I don't like something this big coming within 20,000 miles of the surface of Earth. I mean, it has its own local gravity. It's only 370 yards, you know, like 1,000 feet in diameter. But still, it could cause us communications and, you know, satellite damage, et cetera, when it does come by us. It's one of those things that, you know, people don't realize how vulnerable we are, you know, for all the satellite stuff we got out there. And, you know, anyway, it's coming. And, I think when did they discover that? 2004. It was big enough and reflective enough that they could see it. but it was, they thought it was bigger than it is, but it's only about the diameter of the height of the Eiffel Tower at the moment. Anyway, good thing to keep your eyes on.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it's big enough that, you know, all right, the light reflectivity from it, it could be picked up in optical telescopes. As I've said many times, we need to have infrared telescopes, which we do have, but they're not really all tuned to looking at every potential asteroid out there that might come our way. The infrared will pick up the heat frequency, you know, like thermal, rather than visible light frequency from the sun bouncing off of it. But it absorbs the heat, you know, the infrared from the sun, and, you know, if it has its own processes inside, it will glow in an infrared photograph. So those kind of missing asteroids, and there are thousands of them out there. They know, you know, from the mass distribution and perturbations that occur to Earth and Mars, etc. They know they're out there. We just haven't been able to see them and find them. These are a worry. We could have one, you know, sitting out there 2 days away, and suddenly we'll get a report from NASA say, boy, that's a, wow, that was close. You know, before they discovered it's gone by. So this is a clear and present danger. And with the current administration here weakening Space Force and not budgeting what we need for intervention, you know, a serious intervention to move detected asteroids out of Earth collision orbit, it's suicide not only for the United States, but for the planet. It's just crazy. Anyway.
Wow. Stuff that you don't think about, but go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see, how long have we got here? About, what, 10 minutes maybe?
We've got actually, Stan, I'm sorry, we only have about 4 minutes. What's that?
Okay. All right. Well, I'll jump then.
Sorry.
Okay. Slides 37 through 42 down at the bottom six slides. They are, about, five questions that people have, sci-fi concepts, and if they were possible in theory, you know. So, what we look at, if we look at, the first one in slide 40, is warp drive like Star Trek's series possible? And you go to that that page, and they say, you know, possibly using wormholes or something of that effect. But they're saying that it is possible without violating Einstein's theory of relativity to have a way to warp space-time in his vocabulary, so that you can exceed the speed of light in the medium of space, which is not empty. It's got a lot of matter in it of different densities. So if you read that article there, you can see about the wormholes. That's the picture you've got up there now, Eric. And it says, you know, can we jump from one place in the solar system, or sorry, in the universe for that matter, to another using a wormhole that we create? And the consensus in that article is, wow. The amount of energy, the size of it, you know, would be huge. And so that it's not a practical way to go from one place to another in the universe by short circuiting using a wormhole. And I think if we do have wormholes, that they are really between our universe and a parallel universe, rather jumping from place to place in our own universe. Now, using that concept, you theoretically could, or hypothetically, could jump from our universe to an upper level universe, a higher energy density, go there and travel over to another spot that's closer in that universe than where we want to go in our universe, and then drop back down through a wormhole that comes back to our universe and our reality. They do cover this, by the way, in this article, you know, about parallel worlds, or universes. And that's in slide 37, that same page, but you can read about the concept there. And they ask in slide 38, there's the slide of the parallel universe thing. And in slide 38, there's teleportation. And they approach teleportation from the quantum entanglement theory, which says you can have this photon, you know, a light photon in this place, and it can be connected to a photon gazillions of miles away, so that affecting this photon affects that photon and vice versa. And so to say, for that reason, you could not really make a thing that would dematerialize a body and then put it back together again some other place. Just not going to be possible. But they're limiting themselves because there are a number of ways to teleport, which have even been tested in the late 50s, early 60s, believe it or not, in a lab, where you put an envelope, you take the whole object that you want to teleport, and you create a field around it, and that field is then moved like a bullet from a cannon to a receiver station. And they were able to move a small cube of iron, across the lab using this, being there it was, but the technique they were using did cause the lump of iron to kind of melt a bit, but so it's not good for person travel. Anyway.
Interesting. Stan Dale, thank you. I apologize for the rather abruptness, but God bless you and God bless Holly, and thank you for being part of the show today.
Thank you. Lord bless you now.
All right, folks, that'll do it for us tonight. May God bless each and every one of you. Please, please hit your knees tonight. Thank God for what you have, but also pray for our nation. Pray for the future of our country. God bless. Good night.